At Farmers, our honesty is contagious.
Wait, am I going to catch honesty?
Well, when you're with Farmers, it's kind of inevitable.
Well, how long does it take to... I lied to you when you asked if I knew what a deductible was. I don't know my dad's birthday, and I thought umbrella policies were for rainstorms. Actual rainstorms. I have it, don't I?
You don't just have honesty.
You have Farmers. Bum, 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 bum.
Learn more at Farmers.com. Underwritten by Farmers Truck or Fire Insurance Exchanges or Affiliate. Products not available in every state.
Nerds! Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Personal finance can feel like a pop quiz you didn't study for. This podcast is your study guide. On NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast, you'll hear from trusted journalists who explain the why behind major financial decisions. You'll get research-backed insights and clear pros and cons, whether you're planning a big purchase or just want to grow your wealth. Make your next financial move with confidence. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast on your favorite podcast app.
Latte for Keenan?
That's me.
Hey, you're...
Yeah.
Buying a car online on AutoTrader?
Really? But unlike other sites, you can start online, test drive with a local dealer, then finish online or at the dealership.
Cool. Enjoy.
Buy your car online on AutoTrader. Really.
Jake Vonnegut with you guys on Overtime. We have Get a Grip coming up here in 60 minutes. We've been talking a lot about the Cavs and Donovan Mitchell to kick off this show. But we, maybe can talk a little bit more on that. We can talk about the Browns situation at quarterback. So much to get down to and to help us out. Let's go ahead and bring in our Cleveland Sports Beat reporter, brought to you courtesy of Scheiben Jewelers, Cleveland's premier jewelry store. Our good friend Daryl Ryder joining us now. Daryl, what's going on?
Oh, not much, Jake. Just enjoying my summer vacation.
I think, can we even call it that right now, Daryl? Do we feel like it's summer vacation the way that things are happening?
No, for me, it is. Won't see the Browns for another 6 weeks. That in and of itself is worthy of a vacation.
That's a good point. It's a very, very good point made by you, Daryl.
And I'm going to enjoy every minute of it.
Now, of course, it doesn't mean that we get to ignore the Browns, especially with everything that's been going down over the past, basically 24 hours with what happened with... I mean, Brendan Sorsby basically says, hey, I mean, I'm winning the battle against the NCAA, but a lot of things happening. I got to make a decision. He's going to, and I think is officially filed to declare for the NFL supplemental draft. If I'm not mistaken, Daryl, I saw you on social media say you're out on this. Is that correct?
Yeah, I have no interest. I don't care if he's the best quarterback prospect since Otto Graham. I'm not interested. Gambling is the point of no return. You're talking about the integrity of the game potentially being compromised, and just can't have that. That is too risky. And even if the NFL lets him do the supplemental draft thing, and who's to say that he completely escapes penalty? Right? Remember when the NFL, took action against the Ohio State Buckeyes after their tattoo gate, is that what it was called back then? I can't even remember what dumb name we came up for that ridiculous situation, right? they all those sanctions over that, and then turn around, this kid admits to not just gambling on college football, but gambling on games in which he participated in. And whether that is addiction related or not, that's not for me to say, but there's way too much risk and liability there for me to feel comfortable with bringing him in. But Andrew Berry is the patron saint of second chances in the National Football League, so it would not put it past Berry to submit a bid in the supplemental draft, again, assuming that the NFL accepts his application.
Yeah, I was going to ask you, because obviously the way you feel, I kind of take away is the way that Todd Monken feels about the situation based on what he said at the golf outing. Andrew Berry has spoken nothing but second chances, and obviously we have reports out there right now that the Browns are unlikely to submit a bid for Brendan Sorsby, but do you really think this is something that the Browns share your sentiment in and stay away from?
No, I think they will submit a bid. Mm. The question is, will it be a winning bid? I'm convinced they're going to submit a bid. I am. I wouldn't do it. Now, it might be a fourth or a fifth rounder with the knowing that you're not going to get them, maybe, that somebody else is going to do it. But I do think that Andrew Berry is going to submit a bid of some sort. We'll see. But it just, again, I mean, we had him on. Myself and Anthony Lima, I was filling in for Ken the other morning. We had him on. The question was asked. And, you know, he spoke about, you know, hey, first thing I got to find out, are they a bad person or do they just make bad decisions? Then it, you know, goes to, you know, okay, are you done making the bad decisions, right? Have you learned your lesson and things like that? And that certainly got my antennas up because that was the polar opposite of what Todd Monken had said a couple of weeks earlier at the Browns Foundation golf outing in Firestone minutes before the news that Myles Garrett had been traded to the Los Angeles Rams came out, even though I think half the world already knew the trade was going down, right? So, and obviously, Monken isn't in control of the roster. Andrew Berry is, but yeah, just Berry's track record. Look at some of the folks that he has brought in over the years, including the previous quarterback that's currently in a quarterback competition here. Yeah, I wouldn't put it past him to give Sorsby a chance.
Daryl, I was going to ask you, because obviously we've seen, I mean, not only other GMs, but other GMs very close to Andrew Berry, like Howie Roseman, turn, you know, players with problems into players in the NFL that do not have problems. And a lot of that has been attributed to having that good base of players who are very football focused, obviously leaders that have been in there, like Fletcher Cox was there for a very long time, helped bring a lot of those guys in and made sure they stay on the right path. Is anything in your eyes changed in the Browns front? Because I brought up the, like, I think you brought in really good players over the past couple of years, very right. football minded, very, you know, I mean, outside of football, great individuals. I would also make the claim that you have probably too many young guys and not enough vets in that category.
Yeah, again, it's the gambling thing for me. That I mean, that's the issue. Again, you're talking about the integrity of the game. And what makes me even more nervous is because, you know, he said it was an addiction problem, right? And it'd be one thing if he just was, you know, just a kid making a dumb mistake gambling and that was that. But this is a pattern of behavior, and you know, based on the reporting out there, he has claimed addiction and getting treatment for it, et cetera, right? And that's understandable, and certainly, you know, respect anyone that is working to fight and overcome addiction. But the gambling thing's going to be thrown in front of him because everything in the National Football League is presented by insert name of sports betting company here, right? It's everywhere in the stadiums, on television, you know, media platforms, et cetera. It's in your face. So, and I certainly understand those that would say that it's really hypocritical, right? But again, you can't bet on games that you're participating in because you directly have an effect on the outcomes of said bets, right? I'm old enough to remember when guys were excommunicated from sports because of gambling. And I'm not, and again, I'm not trying to make light of this situation, not by any stretch of imagination. I'm just trying to provide some historical context in here as well. I understand legalization of it has changed. Societal attitudes towards it has changed, but you can't bet on games in which you participate in. And also because of the claim of addiction, I'm even more nervous about it because that, you know, that is not sometimes rational decision-making, if you know anything about addiction, right? There's impulse there. That's that, you know what I mean? Like you gotta feed that type of a thing. So it's not just, so that's why I'm even more nervous about it when you throw in the potential for an addiction type of a thing that he's trying to overcome. Again, I wish him well. I hope that he's gotten whatever help that he has needed to help him get through whatever it was he was dealing with, right? But there's too much risk, way too much risk for me. And I don't think that the Browns can afford at this time to take that type of risk, even though there's always, you know, the flip side of the coin is, well, it could pay off in a big way if he becomes something. But here's the thing. What if he becomes something and has a relapse in behavior, right?
Yeah.
Like that, I mean, look what the Browns went through with Josh Gordon. And I'm going to tell you right now, addiction was involved there, okay? And it went far beyond just weed, okay? Because I know a lot of fans and folks, when they look back at Josh Gordon, and again, societal attitudes, legalization of it and things like that, it has certainly changed over the years and evolved. And even the NFL stance and testing on it through negotiations with the NFLPA, it's less and less. But, you know, Josh Gordon's thing went beyond just that one particular substance, and that was addiction involved as well. And just look at how challenging it was for Josh, who is, I would argue, the most talented wide receiver I've ever seen with my four eyes. But it was that challenging for him to overcome. And unfortunately, he wasn't able to overcome it to a point where, you know, he was allowed to continue to play the sport.
And again, Daryl Ryder with us here on the hotline. Hey, Daryl, I'm going to ask you to live in the hypothetical and as much as we can leave the outside of it, the suspension part of it that is obviously on the table out of it. But let's just play in the hypothetical world. Browns submit a bid, end up getting Brendan Sorsby on the roster. Mm-hmm. Todd's talked about the quarterback competition the way he sees it right now. How does that quarterback room play out? And do you think that if Sorsby gets here, we see him on the field in some capacity this year again, barring a suspension that would be on the table?
Well, first thing would be first, Dylan Gabriel would have to immediately be voted off the island.
You're right.
But I'm actually trying not to be facetious or sarcastic about the situation and answering your question, because it's a fair question. But like, you have to get rid of him to go back to having the your four quarterbacks, because you got a rookie that you drafted, albeit a sixth round, but he's shown amazing arm talent in practice. Okay, he's a very intriguing prospect by far. From a finished product, he's definitely a developmental player. But you're not getting rid of him, right? Unless you trade Shedeur Sanders, right?
Yeah.
You can't trade Deshaun. You're stuck with him. So if I don't know about him seeing the field this year. I don't know. I don't know how to answer that hypothetical, but I will say they would if they put a bid on him and they win, okay, they have to make room for him. And so that's just the reality. He's on the team, okay? He's on the 53. You can't draft him in the supplemental and then him not make the team. Unless he ends up on the reserve suspended by the commissioner list or whatever, right?
Yeah.
And again, we don't know that either. So if they won the bid for Sorsby, he has to be on the team. And that means somebody has to go. And that somebody, in my view, would have to be Dylan Gabriel, unless they decided quickly to move on from Shedeur Sanders. Oh, by the way, they probably should also do that as well, right? Because, you know, you're basically saying, by putting the bid in on him, like right now you can say Shedeur has a future here. He's competing for the starting job, right? Mm-hmm. You can say that right now because he is. He's getting just as many reps as Deshaun. But you go get Sorsby in the supplemental draft, you basically said, yeah, Shedeur doesn't have a future here. You see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So, I think that room would have to, change significantly if they do go that route.
All right, Daryl, taking a step away from the Browns, because we were talking about the Cavs for the entirety of this first hour, and I asked a very important question that I don't think I can find the answer to. We have multiple rumors out there, the Dennis Schroeder report coming out today, that, you know, they're basically looking to move on from him. We had a couple of weeks ago, Dean Wade over Keon Ellis prioritization.
Yeah.
What are they trying to accomplish with this roster right now other than get under the second apron?
Get under the second apron. That's what they're doing. I don't think that them moving on from Dennis Schroeder is something that, if you gave Kobe Altman the truth serum, I don't think he'd want to do it. But somebody got to go, right? You've got to do something to get under that second apron. Now, James Harden is going to do his deal this offseason that's supposedly going to help them accomplish that as well. But yeah, that's, you know, they have to cut somewhere. They got to trim the fat somewhere. And, you know, that's just the business of the NBA. So, that's, I think, all that move is you got to get under that second apron to give yourself some flexibility should some other opportunities present themselves this offseason from a roster move standpoint.
Ringer came out with their top 100 list. It was updated, obviously, following the NBA Finals. Donovan fell outside of the top 10, just at number 11.
Mm-hmm.
Do you feel as if, though, he's a top 10 player in the NBA right now?
I think that's about right. I think he's in that range. If he's in the top 10, he's around 10. And again, that's no shade again towards him.
Right.
I mean, you're in the top 10. That's pretty good. Yeah, that's some good company to be in, right? But yeah, I think that that's probably about the range, 10, 11, maybe at best 9. Might be able to have a conversation there. But yeah, he's in that range. I think that that's a fair spot. And it's all, and again, that's, to me, that's still a compliment to him. That I don't feel like that's insulting to him, if that's what you're asking.
No, I was just getting your thoughts on it. I mean, yeah, I had looked at it. I don't know that he's probably right around that range for me. I just struggled to see with where these players are. You know, he thought about across the NBA, the roster building of the team, what you're banking on money-wise. Like,
yeah.
Outside of Donovan taking a pay cut moving forward, is there a way they can build a championship team?
Well, it's not going to happen.
Yeah.
Chris, I was in the Midday Show with Dan Medigan yesterday, and we had Chris Fedor on, and I asked him, I said, hey, Chris, I'm not trying to put you on the spot here, but $70 million a year for Donovan Mitchell? Really? That's like, is that what's going to happen? And I'm just paraphrasing, but Chris said, yeah. He goes, what's the alternative? Trading him and rebuilding and going through that all over again when, you know, guys like Donovan Mitchell aren't exactly falling out of the sky, and that's why they gave up what they did to get him here. Hey, that's the cost of business in the NBA right now. Do I think Donovan Mitchell is worth $70 million a year? Me personally, no, absolutely not. Would I like to see him say, hey, give me 60, take the 10, spend it on the team? You don't get to pocket it. You got to spend it on a team. Yeah, absolutely. It's a business, and I don't begrudge players getting their worth and their market value. And according to the collective bargaining agreement, next offseason, not this one, that's why he's probably not going to sign an extension this year. He's going to wait one more year because he gets that supermax with the no-trade clause that gets him in the $68 to $70 million a year range. Hey, that's the pay scale in the NBA, and he's going to get it. I don't necessarily agree with the value, but that's what's collectively bargained, and that's ultimately, I think, what he's going to get. I don't think he's going to take less money.
Daryl, always good to have the conversation. Always good to talk to you, and look forward to doing it next week.
I am not going to bet on the Browns, not placing a bid on Brendan Sorsby.
Well, at least we know we won't hear from Andrew Berry, so we'll be left in the dark and guessing. So,
yeah. Well, if it's out that they're not likely to do it, I would venture a guess that they very well may do it.
Yeah, it feels very Berry-esque, does it not?
Yes.
All right, thanks, Daryl. Appreciate you.
You bet, Jake.
Daryl Ryder, our Cleveland Sports Beat Reporter, again brought to you there courtesy of Scheiben Jewelers, Cleveland's premier jewelry store. We're going to react to what Daryl had to say, and what is the actual worst outcome for the Browns and Brendan Sorsby if that bid goes through? We'll talk about it. We'll react to it and get your calls. 216-474-0092. It's coming your way in 5 minutes on Overtime with Jake Volnick on The Fan. Just got done talking to Daryl Ryder, our Cleveland Sports Beat Reporter. If you missed it, 92.3thefan.com will be up over there in just a little bit as well. You miss any moment in the show, use the rewind feature on the Odyssey app, powered by Integrated Restoration, your local experts in water, fire, and storm disaster restoration. Really good stuff out of Daryl.
When it comes to my policy, Farmers gives it to me straight, so there's no surprises.
It's your coverage. You should never be confused.
You hear that? An insurance provider with a conscience.
We're a choir, but yes, we have that too.
Straightforward coverage you can literally understand. That's what you get when
you have Farmers. Bum, 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 bum.
Learn more at farmers.com. Underwritten by Farmers Truck or Fire Insurance Exchanges or Affiliate. Products not available in every state.
Nerds!
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Personal finance can feel like a pop quiz you didn't study for. This podcast is your study guide. On NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast, you'll hear from trusted journalists who explain the why behind major financial decisions. You'll get research-backed insights and clear pros and cons, whether you're planning a big purchase or just want to grow your wealth. Make your next financial move with confidence. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast on your favorite podcast app.
Latte for Keenan?
That's me.
Hey, you're...
Yeah.
Buying a car online on AutoTrader?
Really? But unlike other sites, you can start online, test drive with a local dealer, then finish online or at the dealership.
Cool. Enjoy.
Buy your car online on AutoTrader. Really.
I'm Serena Williams, and I'm healthier on Row. I've lost 34 pounds in a year with GLP-1s, diet, and exercise. On Row, you can access GLP-1 options, including the first FDA-approved GLP-1 pill for weight loss. Go to row.co/journey to see if you qualify. 14 to 20% average weight loss in 1 year in non-diabetics with obesity or overweight with a weight-related medical condition versus 2.2% to 3.1% in placebo arm. RX only. To stay informed about serious side effects, go to row.co/safety.
Very much on the train of personally not paying Donovan $70 million, but sure feels like the Cavs are probably going to end up having to pay Donovan Mitchell $70 million at some point. So we just got to get ready for what's to come in that department. So that'll be fun. Get ready for that. I also think that's the most likely outcome, even though I don't agree with it. I'm on the same page as Daryl. But a lot on the Brendan Sorsby conversation as well. And Daryl is anti-bringing Brendan Sorsby into the room. And I said this yesterday, and I maintain this. If that is the stance that you have, I get it. Like, if you are, there is no chance in the world Brendan Sorsby, does not matter the pick, does not matter what I have to give up, he's just not getting onto my football team. I understand where that logic comes from, and Daryl did a really nice job at explaining where he comes from on it, the idea of a gambling addiction, a relapse, what comes of it, the integrity of the game questions that come alongside Brendan Sorsby. I get it. I mean, listen, if I'm the Browns, I'm probably not putting anything higher than a fourth, maybe a third round supplemental pick into my bid for Brendan Sorsby, and that's assuming all the things that Andrew Berry is going to look into coming up here in the following weeks pans out in your favor. Pans out that, you know, he made some dumb decisions, he's got all the support and the help that he needs, or is going to continue to get that as time moves on, and he's going to be ready to go and going to be, you know, a clean sheet moving forward. I just struggle to see where the fully negative outcome of it all happens. Right? Like, you want to tell me you're sending a second-round pick at this in the supplemental draft. There is a lot of strings attached to sending a second-round pick. People are like, oh, well, you know, if you use the second round on him and then you don't believe him after a year, well, you could still go back and draft him in the first round or somebody else, another quarterback in the first round. And I'm like, that's the part I don't agree with. You use a second-round pick on a quarterback. You are using a second-round pick on a quarterback. Done deal. Doesn't matter. You have no argument against it. I am convinced at that point that you're committing the capital of the 2027 class. You have used it to quarterback. You are long-term strings attached to Brendan Sorsby. That conversation starts to change when you use a third or a fourth round pick on a guy. Like, Dylan Gabriel right now is a guy used a third round pick on. I don't think anybody in this city is going to be all that upset outside of Dylan Gabriel himself and maybe his fiance, maybe now wife. I don't know what is going on in his life. I don't keep tabs on that. But maybe they would be upset. I think that's about where it closes out. I think that's about the end of it. Everybody else is okay with the idea that you used a third-round pick on Dylan Gabriel. It did not work. Let's move on from it. Let's just get out from under. You don't have to keep him around because he was a third-round pick. You got to see if he can be your backup at least. You got to see if he can continue to make the team. No. Failed third-round pick. Failed at quarterback. He's taking up space in the room. Move on from him. Brown's very likely to do that at some point, probably as they head into the season. Just get rid of the extra arm. Carry the three quarterbacks elsewhere on the roster. Use a third or fourth round pick on Brendan Sorsby, not even to say you have to move on from him. There will be, at the very minimum, one additional spot in that quarterback room. Deshaun Watson will be off the books. He will not be, or at least off the roster, not necessarily off the books, but he'll be gone. You'll have an additional spot. You can draft another quarterback. You can have a quarterback competition that's three guys. You can go back to Shedeur Sanders if you really want to. You can have Brendan Sorsby in it. You can have your first round pick in it. First round pick's probably going to win because, well, use the first round pick. But even if you go through this year and you go, he wasn't as talented as we really thought he was, or hey, maybe something did happen with the gambling relapse, or the NFL put a massive suspension on him, something crazy. Okay, well, I burned a fourth round pick. How many organizations burn a fourth round pick every single year? I will tell you it's a majority of them. Most of those guys do make the roster, but probably don't turn into very much. There's a reason why you had, bare minimum 96 players taken in front of you. And there's going to be more given the conditional picks and everything else, but bare minimum 96 guys taken in front of you. You're almost the 100th player taken. Like, and that is with the first pick in the fourth round. You could have as many as 130 players essentially taken before you. I just
don't see the same kind of gripe with where the Browns are going if you're using a fourth round supplement. Like, again, worst case scenario, it doesn't work out this year. You cut ties. Like, if I'm looking at, again, from a GM perspective, because this is what Andrew Berry is going to do, regardless of Todd Monken's comments, regardless of what any of us think, Andrew's going to try to determine what's best for the football team and what his best route is to getting a quarterback. I would be hard-pressed not to think of the idea that getting a stab on a guy who is widely considered to be at least a fringe first-round pick in the 2027 class and being able to take him at a fourth-round value is something that I don't think very many GMs would be wanting to pass up on. And even with some of the off-the-field, you know, I mean, trouble and distractions, Andrew Berry has never shied away from that. He has invited that when he was on the station last week. He invited it, and Daryl talked to him, and he talked about it in the interview last segment. But I just don't see the bare minimum or the you know, major repercussions that are going to come from putting a fourth round bid. One, I don't even think that's going to get the job done. I think that you're looking at this. Pittsburgh is the betting favorite to land him. And I think ultimately the team that is going to land him is likely to be the Pittsburgh Steelers, because that is a team who right now does not have a pathway forward to draft a quarterback this year in any way. Like the Dolphins, Cardinals, Jets, and Browns all have a pathway to draft a quarterback this year early in the first round, get their picks of Arch Manning, Dante Moore, CJ Carr, Lenoris Sellers, all of these guys who are projected to be very early first round picks. They're all in the range to go out and take them. You don't have to fully commit to a guy like Sorsby. The Steelers do have to commit to him. So Andrew Berry putting in a fourth-round bid, again, I'm not taking the risk of being like, hey, I'll throw a second at him, because there's a lot more that goes into that. There is a lot attached to he's our quarterback of the future now. But I think if you're just ignoring first-round talents, given any of the off-the-field issues, you're doing your team a little bit of a disservice. Those are the risks that you talk about being willing to take. And if the Browns don't even think about submitting an offer, if they don't look farther into this and ultimately do submit an offer, you know, assuming the fact that Brandon Sorsby would be allowed to actually enter the supplemental draft, which I assume is going to happen. I think the NFL will accept his application, even if there is a suspension on the other side. But you can't just ignore the fact that you bring in a guy like that. And I know Todd Monken doesn't want him. I know the dysfunction that that puts out there and it makes it look like would be happening. But you have to talk about how this team gets better in the future. And I mean, some of the comps that are being brought up for him are really hard to ignore. I mean, Josh Allen has been thrown out there, which might be a little wild. But Joe DeLeon was on the station yesterday, and he pointed to a guy like Jackson Dart. How bad is Jackson Dart as a comparison? If he was Jackson Dart and you got him with a fourth round pick, you'd probably be elated. Like that's a guy who New York is moving forward with right now, is their quarterback of the future. And you're talking about having your first, second, third round picks to draft guys like Jeremiah Smith, draft defensive players to replace some of the guys you'd be losing in the next couple of years. Right? And what is going to be not just a quarterback, but the entirety of the 2027 class, a really deep class with a lot of talent outside of the quarterback position. Again, it's just a struggle to act like you can ignore those things and try to pretend that that's not going to happen. Try to pretend like you don't have to worry about everything else on your team and being able to scratch off the quarterback spot with something easier. I just don't see the major ramifications of it. I don't see with what putting a fourth round bid in is really the massive negative on your team. Again, you mess up. Well, you mess up, right? You're gone. I don't have to keep round fourth round picks when they mess up. You don't have to get third and fourth and fifth opportunities the way that I would with a guy who is probably a first round pick, the way you would have to or feel, oh, well, I used a first round pick on that guy and now I'm losing him. What a massive bust of a pick. How could you not see the red flags? You see the red flags with fourth round picks all the time. You just take into account they're a fourth round pick and I take the risk. Again, I don't know that there's that much of a negative. I'm all in. Don't take him in the second round. If the Steelers want to go out and put a second round bid on him, you can have him. Take that risk. Have fun with that. This is your future. But if you can get him in the fourth, maybe the third, I think if you're Andrew Berry, you have to start considering it, and you should probably get ready for late July to be submitting that. 216-474-0092. With something like a fourth round pick on the table, what is the worst outcome for Brandon Sorsby as a Brown? Because the way I see it, it's he gets cut from the team and you miss out on a fourth round pick. Doesn't sound all that bad for me. And this weekend, some comments on whether or not the Browns actually need good quarterback play to be successful this year. Some in favor, some against. Figure out where we stand in 5 minutes and overtime with Jake Volnick on The Fan. Jake Volnick with you guys here on Overtime. 9 o'clock, Get a Grip coming your way, as it usually does. But we're continuing our conversation along with the Browns, and obviously a lot of conversation surrounding Brandon Sorsby, but not exactly where we're going with this. More of just a quarterback-centric conversation surrounding the Browns, based off a lot of the commentary we got over this weekend, which I thought was interesting, because I figured a lot of us probably landed in about the same range, right on the same kind of precipice, same page of what we were expecting from this team and what you needed. But I think there's still a lot of debate about what the Browns need out of the quarterback position in order to be semi-successful this year. Right, like, defense should still be pretty solid. I mean, I don't think it's obviously not going to be probably what it was last year, but I don't think it's going to be bad. You got a lot more weapons on offense, and it led Eric Edholm on the station this weekend to believe that maybe the quarterback doesn't have to be all that great for the Browns to find success.
You have these two very, I guess, polarizing players who are also flawed, you know, and you put them in a competition, and you know, a lot of people are like, well, hey, good for them drafting well in the last 2 years. It's not going to matter until they get a quarterback. I think that's maybe the extreme view, but certainly there are a fair number of people that hold that. But I think there are others who feel like, boy, if they can get sort of baseline, solid, a little above replacement level quarterback play this year from either or both, you know, maybe the Browns have something, even in a tough division. So I think most people are kind of just, you know, until they see something concrete or until they start hearing glowing reports about one or both of these guys really pushing the other, then I think people are gonna slow play their optimism for the Browns.
And, like, I think that's probably the correct play, by the way, made by a lot of people, is to slow play optimism. I struggle with this because do you need great quarterback play? I don't know that you need fantastic play to be successful this year. I think we were asking even for last year for if you could just get competent quarterback play, but that's with the idea that you had Myles Garrett, and you had Myles Garrett setting the sack record, and you had a defense that was a very easily top five defense in the NFL. Again, it comes back to the ramifications that you have. I mean, just on the loss of Myles Garrett and bringing in Jared Verse, what does the defense actually suffer? I mean, what is the drop-off in play now that you bring in Jared Verse? I'd like to think it's not, I mean, absolutely devastating, but at the exact same time, I can't sit here and act like it's going to be, I mean, sunshine and rainbows, and you're just going to be fantastic. It's a little bit of, I think, a difficulty to figure out what you have. And again, for everybody that sits there like Eric Edholm, who, you know, maybe you don't need great quarterback play, I think Andrew Siciliano also laid out this weekend the idea that it might not need to be great, but it's not like you can just get subpar quarterback play going out of that either. Let's go ahead and take a listen to Andrew now.
At Farmers, our honesty is contagious.
Wait, am I going to catch honesty?
Well, when you're with Farmers, it's kind of inevitable.
Well, how long does it take to... I lied to you when you asked if I knew what a deductible was. I don't know my dad's birthday, and I thought umbrella policies were for rainstorms. Actual rainstorms. I have it, don't I?
You don't just have honesty.
You have Farmers. Bum, 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 bum.
Learn more at farmers.com. Underwritten by Farmers Truck or Fire Insurance Exchanges or Affiliate. Products not available in every state.
Nerds! Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Ever Google a money question and end up 12 tabs deep with 12 different answers? This podcast is your shortcut back to clarity. NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast breaks down financial decisions with a team of trusted journalists. They explain the why behind decisions like investing, home buying, and choosing credit cards with clear research-backed insights. No jargon, no misinformation. Make your next financial move with confidence. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast on your favorite podcast app.
Latte for Keenan?
That's me.
Hey, you're...
Yeah.
Buying a car online on AutoTrader?
Really? But unlike other sites, you can start online, test drive with a local dealer, then finish online or at the dealership.
Really? Wait, are you...
Yep, it's Keenan.
Able to finish in person without starting the process over?
Really? Your info stays with you every step of the way.
Cool. Enjoy.
It's Keenan Thompson. Buy your car online on AutoTrader. really.
I'm Hannah. I've lost 75 pounds in 20 months with GLP-1s, plus diet and exercise. On Row, I've gone from struggling to run a mile to running farther every day. You can access FDA-approved GLP-1s online. Get the support you need to reach your weight loss goals. Go to row.co/weight to see if you qualify. I'm a paid Row partner. 20% average weight loss in 1 year in non-diabetics with obesity or overweight with a weight-related medical condition versus 3.1% in placebo arm. Rx only. To stay informed about serious side effects, go to row.co/safety.
Imagine you're finally cleaning out your gutters when the smoke alarm starts blaring from inside. Smoke billows out of the window. ADT's affordable DIY systems are built for those moments where everything can change in a second. They're easy to set up, customizable, and help keep your home safe with 24/7 monitoring. No one wants to feel unsafe at home, and with ADT, you won't. ADT prioritizes your peace of mind with the most company-operated monitoring centers in the industry. With the ADT Plus app, you stay in control from virtually anywhere. Don't wait to prepare for an emergency. When every second counts, count on ADT. Visit ADT.com or call 1-800-ADT-ASAP.
Overall, this team is going to win with defense. You got to figure out one of the two quarterbacks who can get you 20 points on the board. Because we all know that the record would be a heck of a lot different if the last two seasons, and maybe a lot of things would be different, if the last two seasons this team could score, just give me 20 points. Give me 20, not 16. So I really couldn't care less which one starts as long as we put some points on the board.
And again, like, I think that there's something to, can you just put points there? Is there something to being a competent quarterback? Yeah, but I also don't know that it just goes straight into, well, if they just get all right quarterback play, they'll be okay. Like, this is where I think part of the delusion sets in, and we probably meet somewhere in the middle of these two conversations. Everybody wants competent quarterback play last year. And I legitimately think competent quarterback play probably makes you a 500 football team. Like, it's somewhere in that range. I don't know if it's quite 500. I don't know if it's slightly worse. I don't know if it's slightly better. But you're somewhere in that ballpark if you're able to get competent quarterback play. We know how many things were, lined up against this team just last year, right? The offensive line being an absolute disaster. The wide receiver core not being good enough. There's nothing really to tell you directly that the Browns weren't getting, at times at least, like half competent quarterback play or something that was at least borderline respectable. But you continue to go out there now. Again, I don't think you were necessarily getting that. I don't think Joe was great. I think that Dylan Gabriel was a disaster, and I think Shador was probably a step below okay. But I don't know that competent is even what brings you over the edge, especially now with where the defense is going to sit. I don't know that you can just bank on competent getting you there. I think you always in the NFL to be a successful team need to rely on something a little bit more than competent. You need something that pushes you over the edge. You need somebody with a bit of an X factor to drive that conversation, to drive the team forward. So, and I think that's where the struggle of this year comes in and why the quarterback battle, obviously so much of us are just, bought into it as a whole, but also when we go out and actually look at it, we struggle with the conversation of, are we actually getting, a quarterback battle where both guys are looking really solid, or are we getting a quarterback battle that is more centered around neither guy is going to be that great, and we're just battling it out between, two quarterbacks who haven't been very good, and you're just trying not to get the worst option instead of trying to get a really good option? Are you just sitting there getting a absolutely okay play? And that's what the threshold is for what this quarterback room ends up being. Because okay play, what's the height of that? Like, I don't know if anybody, I think we'd be relatively happy if you got 500 football this year. I don't know that we'd be like through the moon elated, but it would certainly be a big step forward from where they've been the last two seasons. If this team ended up 8-9, again, I don't know that so many of us are jumping for joy, but it's like, I could see the improvement. It was okay. First year with Todd Monken maybe wasn't that bad. Let's see what this team can do when they actually get a quarterback. But that's the difference maker, too. Competent quarterback play leaves you in the worst spot possible in sports. Like, competent quarterback play is almost the worst result for the Browns as a franchise moving forward. Because if I sit here and tell you that I think competent quarterback play probably gets you to a 500 football team, well, you're going to be a team that competence not good enough in the NFL if you want to be chasing a Super Bowl. So you can't probably roll through a Shador if he gives you competent play. You're certainly not rolling through with Deshaun if he gives you just competent play. and you're also in a terrible spot to try to draft a quarterback. You are now talking about packaging 2 to 3 first-round picks together in order to move up the board and take a guy that's likely not going to be the first or the second quarterback off the board. I don't even know that you can make the argument you get the third quarterback off the board. It depends how this year's college season goes. Depends how many guys rise to that top of the first round stature. How many guys fall out of that conversation. But I want competent quarterback play. I think that's something that's nice for the Browns. I'd like to see that for a year. I'd like a team to put up 20-plus points per game for the entire season. That would be something that's actually, kind on the eyes for once, right? Just to watch a half-competent NFL offense. And I think Todd Monken can deliver that to you. I think he's done it so many times across his career as an offensive coordinator that I expect more competent offensive play. But it's where the entire making of this team gets really confusing because the Browns are now trying to walk this awkward, narrow line in a very similar line to the one that we've watched the Steelers take year after year, where it's like, you don't have the quarterback. You don't have the guy. If you don't have a surgence out of Shedeur Sanders this year, and he looks much better than competent, then I'm left with a team who's settling around 500, and I'm left with a team that has no future at quarterback. Again, I think the Browns will do whatever is necessary this year to go draft one, but I'd rather obviously have the guy or have the early pick. I don't want to be left in football purgatory. I just don't know what your ceiling ends up being. Like, so much of that is left in the idea of, I think, still a jump forward for Harold Fannin. I think looking at whatever Denzel, Casey, Isaiah Bond, and Jerry Jeudy are going to be able to give you and how well that gutted offensive line holds up. Right? How well of a job did Andrew Berry actually do in trying to rebuild this offensive line? All of that is going to play a factor into what competent quarterback play leads you to be this season. Because if you have a terrible offensive line, you might get competent quarterback play and still be a 5-win football team. You could make an argument based on the way the Browns offense worked last year and with a dip in defensive production this season that is expected to come at some point, that competent quarterback play probably leaves you somewhere near net neutral. Like, you didn't improve nearly enough on the offensive end, and you decrease just enough on the defensive end to not move. Most teams who go through an average, 17 points a game in that range probably are winning somewhere at 5 or less football games. So you could end up in the same spot. Again, like, would I rather have an offense that actually shows me something, a dip from the defense, and end up there? Yeah, it'd at least be, more watchable, just to look like an average football team that maybe finishes a little below the average mark. This is where, again, the terror comes. Like, I'm going to root for competent quarterback play and also be weary on the idea that it could be the worst thing to happen to this team. Right? If that's the bar, if that is the ceiling of what you get this season, it's, again, why I think banking on Shedeur to be the starter makes more sense. The idea of Shedeur just being a run-of-the-mill average quarterback in the NFL, I don't think lines up with his skill set. I don't think lines up with his demeanor. He might not be fantastic this year. He could still need years to develop, but a lot of what you see out of Shedeur is not going to be the play it safe, just put points on the board in a very mundane manner type of quarterback. He's going to take shots. He's going to take big risks. And I think he is the type of quarterback that is going to win and lose you football games. Right? He has that level of impact. I don't know that Deshaun has that this year. My biggest fear is Deshaun being just your average competent quarterback. And Todd Monken is going to be looking for that. I mean, given the quarterback room that he is walking into, average and competent would be an upgrade from what we saw in this room a year ago. It would be a win for Todd Monken given this situation. I guarantee you, even some of the conversations that we've had about this room have been, well, he's just looking for a guy that can run the offense, a guy he can trust. Guys, that screams average. Right? Like, again, the bar, the ceiling is potentially higher, but it sounds like Todd is looking for something that is in the ballpark range of average quarterback. Somebody that I can trust and can run the offense. Yeah, that's like the bare minimum. That is the necessity of being an NFL quarterback. But having somebody that can actually win you games and win and lose you games, again, is a much more intriguing prospect to me. It's something that I would much more widely consider. But if I start Deshaun and get average quarterback play and he stays healthy, again, like, you doubled down on a quarterback that you already invested a lot of money in, failed to go through and turn into anything, and is going to basically throw you the bird on the way out of like, and you don't get to replace me. Have fun. I'm not saying that's Deshaun's intention, but that's going to be the way it feels as a fan. I'm going to be, just disrespected by the idea that, hey, the guy who blew 4 years and $230 million is going to manage to win me 8 games and make sure I don't have a great quarterback to follow him up. I'm not looking for that. So, yeah, I'd like competent quarterback play this year, but I also have the understanding that I think I need a little boom or bust built into the quarterback spot this season as well. 216-474-0092. Do you think the Browns need good quarterback play to be successful this season? Plus, coming up here in 5 minutes, we're going to get a grip, as we always do at 9 o'clock, right here on Overtime with Jake Volnick on The Fan.
Nerds.
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Ever Google a money question and end up 12 tabs deep with 12 different answers? This podcast is your shortcut back to clarity. NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast breaks down financial decisions with a team of trusted journalists. They explain the why behind decisions like investing, home buying, and choosing credit cards with clear, research-backed insights. No jargon, no misinformation. Make your next financial move with confidence. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast on your favorite podcast app.
Would you look at that? It's time for some of our favorite Snapple Real Facts. Real Fact 1433, toe wrestling is a competitive sport. Real Fact 732, the chicken is the closest living relative of the Tyrannosaurus Rex. And Real Fact 1599, a man once ate an entire airplane. Youch, did he have any hot sauce? Yeah, so anyways, this has been a refreshing break brought to you by Snapple. Real tea, real juice.
With Snap's identity refreshing!
Latte for Keenan?
That's me.
Hey, you're...
Yeah.
Buying a car online on AutoTrader?
Really? But unlike other sites, you can start online, test drive with a local dealer, then finish online or at the dealership.
Really? Wait, are you...
Yep, it's Keenan.
Able to finish in person without starting the process over?
Really? Your info stays with you every step of the way.
Cool. Enjoy.
It's Keenan Thompson. Buy your car online on AutoTrader. Really.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Introducing the all-new MLB Plus, your ticket to streaming baseball's best.
Let's go!
Enjoy MLB Network 24/7 with live out-of-market games and award-winning shows. Enhanced game nights with MLB Big Inning, live and commercial-free. And hear live home and away radio broadcasts of every game, blackout-free. Even stream minor league games all season. It's all here and it's all new. Get MLB Plus for just $59.99 a year. Visit MLB.com/MLBPlus.